Get energized and excited to tell the world, hey, you can call me Catholic. Live from the Christ Cathedral Campus in Garden Grove, California, EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Orange County Catholic Radio present Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normanton.
Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, well, yes, we will find things worthy of praise and then think about them, as St. Paul advises us. But my inclination is to talk about them, too, so then they really stick. That's what we're going to do on Call Me Catholic. That's what we try to do every week on Call Me Catholic. I am Peggy Normanton, and yes, you have arrived at Call Me Catholic. Call me Catholic. Call me Catholic, an hour of hopefully uplifting conversation intended to affirm, inspire, and explore our Catholic identity in these modern times so we can wake up and say to the world each and every day, oh yeah, you can call me Catholic. Jimmy G, my engineer and chief fact checker, is back in the house with me. We've been out of the office for a few weeks, haven't we, Jimmy G?
We have actually.
Yeah, but we did not neglect our listeners. We had a nice, fresh, pre-recorded show ready for them for the last 2 weeks. So we were with you. We just weren't live with you.
But we were out for pretty good reason.
Yeah. Do you want me to mention it?
I don't know if you want to divulge anything.
Well, I'm going to get into it a little bit later, but our middle son, Nick, got married. Woo! And it was kind of a, thank you, woohoo, I have a daughter-in-law, and what a beauty she is. And so it was quite a long celebration, about 10 days,
wow,
to be exact. And I'm going to go into that in a little bit, but it was joy, joy, joy. So we are blessed and we are happy and we're back at you. Okay, we want to tell you that we are coming to you live today from high atop the Tower of Hope on the beautiful Christ Cathedral campus in the Diocese of Orange. It's shimmering and sparkling today in the summer sun. We are in Southern California. So to prove that we're live, you can go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/callmecatholic. And Marvelous Matt has put up a live stream so you can actually watch us in real time and also listen to us. Now, don't do this if you're in your car, you're somewhere precarious, but it will stay up there so you can go back and watch it later or share it with friends.
So for those who are saying, prove it, prove you're live.
Yes,
we can prove it.
We are. It's the real thing. You can see our beautiful guest and you can see our beautiful studio, and we are the real deal. No avatars in this studio.
That's right.
Okay. Hey, so congratulations to the U.S. economy. U.S. economic growth is at a 4-year high, which means, you know, people are working and spending money and businesses are thriving, which is all good for families and domestic life. And also, on a more cerebral note, congratulations to Blessed Pope Paul VI, whose prescient encyclical Humanae Vitae celebrated its 50th anniversary this weekend.
That's right.
Now, Humanae Vitae, for those of you who are unfamiliar with it, was one of the last major encyclicals, teaching documents published by Pope Paul VI. It was in 1968. And it dealt with the use of artificial contraception as birth control. And it explained why the church firmly stands against the use of artificial contraception. In 1968, he was criticized for this encyclical, not just by the secular world, but even by his own church, even within his own school of cardinals. Some say that's why he never wrote another encyclical. And today, it's a fact. It's an absolute fact that the majority of Catholics dismiss this teaching as out of touch, archaic, and anti-science. And I would guess that the vast majority of that majority has really never taken the opportunity to read it. Because if you took the time to read Humanae Vitae, you'd understand that it's more relevant and credible today than it even was 50 years ago. It's prophetic, in fact, especially in light of our current, hashtag MeToo movement, where women have finally decided to band together and take a stand against being used as objects of pleasure in the workplace. Pope Paul VI actually predicted that was going to happen. And he predicted that integrating artificial contraception into our single and married lifestyles would lead to rampant divorce, infidelity, pornography, test tube babies, widespread abortion, total confusion about gender, sexuality, and the dignity of the human person. Now, that doesn't sound out to date at all. It sounds very relevant, very current.
Yeah.
In fact, the science of female fertility today is just catching up to that document. That's how prophetic, that's how ahead of its time it was. Natural family planning complements our scientific understanding of a woman's rhythm of fertility. And with today's modern technology, it's easier than ever to adapt to this natural method of family planning. When a married couple commits to living out their love without the use of artificial contraception, they have to place their trust in each other, right? Mm-hmm. And they have to cooperate with each other in a way that imitates the faith and trust that we must place in our Creator, especially when things aren't fully within our sphere of control. I love that Humani Vitae has been in the news because of its 50th anniversary. Mm-hmm. People still talk about it because it is relevant. Even if they disagree with it, they know it's relevant and they know it's important. There's a wonderful editorial in the Wall Street Journal. It was published yesterday by Ashley McGuire. Now, check it out. It's a great statement that this journalist makes about the importance and the impact Humani Vitae had on her life. And you might be surprised to know that there's this fresh receptivity to this teaching by millennial Catholics who have taken the time to read it.
Right.
And they recognize in it this gateway to living life more freely, more fully, more organically, if you will. It's natural. And that's what we're into.
And probably
today.
Blown away by the fact that it was written 50 years ago.
Yeah. And it had so many projections of what would happen if this became part of our common life.
Exactly. Okay.
So buy a copy of Humani Vitae for your favorite newlyweds or your newly engaged and dare to talk to them about it. Show them you care. I think they'll respect you for that. And read it yourself. If you haven't read it, pick it up, read it, so you can understand why the church teaches what it does. It makes sense. It really makes sense. And even if people disagree with it, they have got to respect the Catholic Church's desire to promote the dignity of each human person.
Amen.
So bravo, Paul VI. Thank you for your courage. You are a prophet. And we know prophets are never accepted in their own time, in their own town. You know who else wrote a great book about marriage, married life? The Venerable Fulton J. Sheen. He wrote a popular book called Three to Get Married. Although it was published in 1951, it still speaks to a contemporary audience about the important tenets of a good marriage, a good married relationship. Archbishop Fulton Sheen was a sage, and he was one of the great Catholic communicators in the 20th century. Not even just Catholic, communicators of the 20th century. Now, if you're not familiar with the Venerable Fulton Sheen, or even if you are very devoted to him, you are going to enjoy what our guest has to say about this future saint. Alexis Walkenstein is an Emmy Award-winning journalist who had a compelling encounter. She's a young woman, but she actually had a compelling encounter with this popular TV evangelist, which eventually prompted her to compile a book of some of his most salient writings. It's appropriately called Ex Libris, Fulton J. Sheen, and Alexis Walkenstein will shed some new light on the importance and timeless relevance of this near saint. Alexis is just a fun and interesting personality, so she's coming up in a minute, and you want to stay tuned for that conversation. We love her energy. Okay, in fact, write down this number, 714-282-6034. That's 714-282-6034. You can jump into our dialogue about the Venerable Fulton Sheen with your questions or comments for Alexis. That's coming up in a minute. But first up, you've got to know it's our Call Me Catholic countdown. You know it is. So since I just returned from an extensive and joyous week of celebrating my son Nick's marriage to Natalie Grace, I thought I'd share my top five favorite moments from the wedding celebration.
Gotta hear
That's our topic for the day. And so here we go.
The Call Me Catholic Countdown.
Thank you for using the upbeat one. Okay, so first a little background on their wedding. So my beautiful daughter-in-law, and I love saying that, daughter-in-law. First chance I've had to say
You've
that.
You've got a daughter.
Publicly. I have a daughter. Three sons, first daughter. So beautiful Natalie Grace is a very bright, lovely young woman. She's a palliative care nurse at Stanford Medical Center. She has had some misfortune in her life. At the age, she has a brother and a twin sister. And at the age of nine, she lost her mother. They lost their mother to cancer. And then 4 years ago, she lost her dad to ALS. So she is without parents, and a young woman in her 20s without parents. So when they got engaged, we said, you know, oh, we'll give you the wedding. We'll host the wedding for you. And beautiful Natalie said, no, I've been dreaming of my wedding all my life. I really want to do my wedding. So one of the things that they both imagined is they had already seen this beautiful venue up in Northern California that's a ranch. It's a ranch, and our family loves ranches, and Natalie loves the outdoors. So they wanted this whole celebration at the ranch. Well, you know, you can't get married, outside of a church building.
Right.
So the first part of the wedding celebration was a beautiful wedding mass ceremony in San Francisco, which is where they both live, by our friend, Father Greg Boyle. And it was on University of San Francisco campus, beautiful chapel there. So it started there. It was a smaller group, about 30. So moving. And then it moved on to the ranch for the celebration of the weekend. So that's how it played out. And it was so much fun. Okay. So number five, I'd have to say my number five favorite thing was watching my two sons, who were his two best men. They stood for him, give their toasts. Uh-huh. I know they worked on their toasts. I know they were working on it so long. Nick is the middle one. So he has an older brother and a younger brother. And they both got up during the dinner and they gave these really great, lively, thoughtful, impactful toasts about what their brother meant to them and how he played in their life and what it means to bring Natalie into our family. So that really moved me. And in addition to that, my nephew Teddy, who is Nick's godfather, he gave the grace before dinner. And Teddy has been very, very gravely ill for quite a while, but he's better and he hasn't been on a plane for a long time. And he flew in from Atlanta, wore his green suspenders for Nick's Notre Dame legacy.
Wow.
And he gave a beautiful toast in grace.
Could probably hear a pin drop, right, when they're giving their toast.
Right. Oh, you could. You could. And there are some pictures of me where I'm just like, I'm in love with these men speaking. Yeah, so that was a really great moment. Number four was that time, and I gave a little toast at one point in the evening, and I looked out into the gathering of people, and it was like all the people I love most in the world. Mm. My dearest friends, my precious family, my whole precious family was there, my sisters,
amazing,
their children. So that was really a moment. That's never happened before. And number three would be my first dance with my son. So we had a hard time thinking what was going to be the first dance. And it was, we picked I Get No Kick from Champagne because, I get such a kick out of Nick. He's such a funny, wise guy. And I sang that in a musical once in college and Anything Goes. So that was a special song for me and it was relevant to Nick. Okay. Number two, this was a moment now, guys. I'm going to share this with you because Natalie has no parents. She has a beautiful twin sister who's married and very expectant, who was her maid of honor, and her brother, her older brother, and they walked her down the aisle, arm in arm. And
beautiful.
It just makes me choke up because that was such a beautiful show of solidarity with her siblings. And imagine a bride being so generous that she would share that moment with her sister. And, you know, most brides are like, attention on me, spotlight please, I'm coming down the aisle. But she shared that moment with her sister and her brother.
That must have been
And it was so intimate and so profound. I didn't know it was going to happen. So, and then the number one thing that really spoke to my heart was their exchange of vows with Father Greg. To hear my son say those words, and they both broke up, the words that so many couples have said before them that just really speak of the institution of marriage and the shoulders upon which you are standing right now in front of God. So it was a milestone for my husband and me, and thank you for letting me share my memories from this last week in our lives. It was incomparable.
Well, thank you for sharing them.
And I thank God for the blessing of enjoying it so extensively without any hitches, no hitches. Okay, I'm going to share a terrific guest with you in a minute. Alexis Walkenstein will tell us what the venerable Fulton Sheen had to say about marriage as she learned when compiling some of his writings for her new book, Ex Libris Fulton Sheen. The author, the journalist, the legend, Alexis Walkenstein is up next. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you are listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Helping you navigate the daily struggles and blessings of life. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Hey there. Hi there, everyone. And welcome back to Call Me Catholic. I am Peggy Normandin, and I certainly hope you're enjoying this summer season. My husband and I went to the county fair last night. How about that for summer fun?
Yeehaw.
Yeah. We went to a concert. We went and saw Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Isn't that
fun? Yeah. Do you remember the 20th?
September song.
Yeah. That was really fun. It felt like summer. I didn't stay out too late, though, because I wanted to be on my game for our guest today. Alexis Walkenstein is a mover and shaker in Catholic media. She's an Emmy Award-winning journalist who has covered news in all the major metropolitan markets. But then she transferred over to public relations, where she served as communication director and spokesperson for the Diocese of Palm Beach, pretty swanky, and then went independent and now has her own business of promoting good film projects for the entertainment industry. Alexis Walkenstein hosts her own radio show, Mary's Touch. We're going to talk to her about that, and just debuted her first book called Ex Libris, Fulton J. Sheen, a very digestible collection of Fulton Sheen's writing and all his writing. And it's been a big success because it's so well assembled, very accessible, and because it was prompted by an encounter with the man himself. Alexis Walkenstein, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Thank you, Peggy. It's so good to be here with you and Jimmy.
You are really one of my idols. You're like, we were talking about this before we went on the air. She is such a communicator. You are very much like Fulton Sheen because you're so glib, so erudite. You're always popping things into social media that are inspirational and humorous and what's off the top of your head.
Oh, glory to God. I mean, yeah Fulton Sheen and John Paul II are two of my communications heroes, and I never expected Fulton Sheen's friendship. I really didn't.
Well, so we got to start with that one. We got to open with that. Tell us how you developed this friendship with a man who has been deceased since 1979.
Yeah, it's really like my parents' generation. I was born in 73, and so, you know, I grew up under the pontificate of JP II, of course. It was really around the time that I was exchanging a mainstream television career to go work for the Diocese of Palm Beach in Florida. And I wanted to kind of, you know, mentally mark this transition with a spiritual work to kind of take along for the journey. I was, you know, moving from Boston, Massachusetts to South Florida, and I was going to drive all my little possessions south down 95. And I wandered into a local Catholic bookstore. Ironically, it was a Daughters of St. Paul bookstore. And I was just kind of thumbing through and realizing that this was a monumental time in my life. I was really laying down my life, laying down my personal ambition in a secular career, a successful secular career, to do something radical for the church. We had been through the scandal in Boston with Boston as its epicenter. And all these years later, we're still erupting. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really know what it would be like to work for a bishop. I knew what it was like to be a faithful Catholic, but working for a bishop was entirely new ball of wax. And I was, I guess, in some way looking for some consolation and some kind of support. And as I was thumbing through the shelves, I pulled out Three to Get Married. And I almost put it back in because it didn't, I mean, I was intrigued.
Catchy title, though.
Yeah, I was intrigued because, you know, I was a single woman and also wanting the vocation of marriage, but not finding that in the secular world, anyone that aligned with, you know, the desire to make a marriage holy. And it was hard. And
did you know Fulton Sheen at the time? Did you know who he was?
I knew who he was from a historical perspective, but he wasn't mine. I couldn't say that he was mine. I never read a single work of his. So when I pulled this out, I thought, here's a bishop talking about marriage. I hadn't really heard bishops talking about marriage. I hadn't really heard bishops teaching about much. I mean, other than my own cardinal at the time that I was under, you know, and you'd hear a homily, but this seemed really kind of radical. I was going to work for a Catholic bishop. Here was a Catholic communicator. It was kind of flooding me. And here was a guy also talking about marriage who from the church point of view. So I pulled it. I threw it in my convertible, drove to Florida.
A little disrespectful, I think, putting Fulton Sheen in the trunk.
I threw him back there with everything else. And one thing led to another. I was in the hot seat as the diocesan communications director. We had a few scandals breaking, and it was all I could do to really keep my head above water with all of that. The book didn't surface for a couple of years later. And when I was selling the car in an emergency sale at the dealer, I opened the trunk and was kind of transferring the contents of the trunk. And it was as though, I kid you not, it was as though the book had illuminated, enlarged, and it was like a spotlight, a heavenly light was shining on this book. And I could hear Jesus say into my heart, you can't just have a vocation to marriage and not prepare. You need to prepare. And I was convicted. And I, you know, because I really felt like there was a Florida connection to my spouse, that God was moving me not just for this work, but he was moving my feet to be connected to who he was sending me. And I took it very seriously. I began to read.
So you picked up the book.
I picked up the book. I started to absorb it like a sponge. I read it multiple times. I also began gradually to just start to ask for his intercession. And I didn't know he was on track for sainthood. And I thought I was pretty with it. I was a journalist. I was a communications director. I knew all my saints days, you know, the whole thing. But I did not know that Sheen was on track for sainthood. It was not in my purview. But I was having this developing, escalating friendship where I was praying to him. Not long after this period of time, it was 2008, the summer, the fall, my female family members and I, my mom, three of my aunts, and my sister and my niece, we all went to Manhattan. It's a common place of bonding for my sister and I. We both lived in Manhattan at different points in our career. Mm-hmm. And so my niece was 8 at the time. She's 18 now. And we said, oh, we'll go to the Rockettes. We'll go to American Girl Doll. We'll shop till we drop. And for those of us that are Jesus loving, well, we need to go to St. Patrick's. You can't go to New York without visiting St. Pat's.
Fifth Avenue, baby.
Yeah. So we made a visit, and I had really been asking his intercession for, you know, for help on my job. It was really difficult scandal times, and I didn't want to make a mistake. I wanted to represent my bishop well and speak well for the church. And I had a little fire in my belly as an apologist and a defender of the faith. But I didn't want to let that overpower the love that God has for people where they are in their impression of the church. So I wanted to really do well. And Fulton Sheen was helping me to do that. But when we went to St. Patrick's, something very profound happened. And everybody kind of did a museum style spin. Three of us stayed for Mass. And after the Mass, we were taking my Aunt Suzanne around all the side altars. If the listeners have been to St. Patrick's, you know that you get kind of swallowed up. It's so beautiful. And you make these little visits to the side altars and devotions to the saints and different titles of Our Lady. As I spun around, I saw my mother and my aunt kneeling behind the main altar, and there was a third kneeler remaining. And I said, oh, I'll unite my prayers to theirs. And I knelt down on the third kneeler. And on the engraved portion of the kneeler, it said, prayer for the canonization of then, because, you know, then he was servant of God, Fulton J. Sheen. Hmm. And I was like, oh my gosh.
There's that name again.
He's being considered for sainthood. And also, he's really present to me. He was making himself known to me. Then I realized he's buried under the crypt. Mm. So I looked at the security guard and I said, is Fulton Sheen buried under there in that crypt? And he, you know, like a New York kind of attitude, eye roll, was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, well, I need to go underneath. Can we get in the crypt? And he kind of knew I wasn't taking no for an answer. And he's like, let me get the sacristan. And I said, you know, I'm a girl that works for a bishop that's originally from New York. You know, like there's New York in my blood, sort of, even though I'm from Boston. You know,
meanwhile, she's batting those big eyelashes, Jamie G.
I was batting my eyelashes to heaven. And so the sacristan finally emerges, this guy named Ian, who was keys around his neck that dragged his whole body down to the floor. He said, who works for Bishop Barbarito? I said, I do. And he said, if you wait till the next Mass concludes, I'll let you down, ooh, the three of you.
Wow.
We end up in the crypt. And what happened from there was I had five major intentions. I didn't plan them out. I had five intentions. And I asked Jesus for these very difficult intentions, three for other people, two for myself. And I said, Lord, Fulton Sheen, if you help me, I will promote you.
You're talking to him directly now.
Directly. And then
I'm going to promote him if he helps you.
If that wasn't profound enough, the next thing that happened was like a big giant mic drop. So we end up having this profound moment inside the crypt, which seemed like it lasted forever. I was able to really spell out these intentions. We came onto Fifth Ave. I turned my phone on like any good PR girl would do, get plugged in immediately. And I had an email from a priest that I had never met before. And it went like this. Dear Alexis, my name is Father Stanley Deptula. I'm the executive director of the cause for canonization of Fulton J. Sheen in Peoria, Illinois. I heard about you, and I'm wondering if you would help us promote his cause in South Florida.
Wow.
And my body on the inside began to like go on fire, and I couldn't speak, and I was showing my phone, shoving it in the faces of my family.
Isn't it kind of scary too, though, when you get that sort of supernatural communication where you think, well, I am just a player in this divine plan.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And here I am. And who am I? Who am I that this saint to be would employ me for this task? And you know what?
Oh, I think he chose well.
But the Lord was saying to me, you know what? Your intentions are getting answered, but I'm putting you to work. And I executed this furiously frenetic flurry of email exchanges. And I said, Father, it just came out of the crypt. I'm in New York. And he's like, you're in New York? He goes, you're in the crypt? How did you get in the crypt? I talked my way in the crypt. And he said, oh my gosh. He said, this is so Fulton Sheen. This is so Our Lady. Would you be opposed? Would it be too forward if I invited myself to come meet you and your bishop? I said, no. I said, in fact, you know, I've been praying at Fulton Sheen for the reform that we need in the church, for our diocese, for the restoration of the office of bishop. Hello, look at what's happening now. All these years later, Fulton Sheen is relevant for these times. He was relevant then. He's relevant now. And so Monsignor Deptula, he flew to Palm Beach, met my bishop. My bishop was so cute. He knew I was having a family trip. And he's like, hey, how were the Rockettes? How was Christmas break? I'm like, they were great, but something better happened. And he was so generous. He said, do whatever you want to do. Wow. Bring him here. Let's do it.
Well, that's pretty impressive that they sought you out. So you didn't even have to kind of pursue this. So now you're on board with the cause for his canonization.
Right.
And I, you know, how many years ago was that?
That was a whole 10 years ago.
And now we have Ex Libris, Fulton J. Sheen.
Which is crazy as well.
Fabulous, fabulous book. So don't go anywhere because we are going to continue this great conversation with Alexis Walkenstein. We are talking about her new book, Ex Libris, Fulton J. Sheen, and we'd love to hear from you too. Maybe you have a devotion to the venerable saint here, or the saint in the making, or perhaps you're meeting him for the first time through the lens of Alexis Walkenstein. We would really enjoy your comments, or Alexis would be really happy to answer all your questions. She knows a lot about this guy. The number is 714-282-6034. That's 714-282-6034. Alexis and I really welcome your commentary or your inquiries, so don't be shy. Fulton Sheen wasn't shy. She's not shy about promoting Fulton Sheen. The number is 714-282-6034. Marvelous Matt, our call screener, will line you up to join us on the air for this great conversation about the venerable Fulton J. Sheen. You know, it's interesting you should be talking about his body in the crypt because that's one of the controversies in his canonization.
It's always
too,
about
isn't it?
The body. Theology of our bodies.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Okay. I am Peggy Normanin, and stay with us because you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Exploring the perils and blessings of embracing a Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normanton.
Hey kids, welcome back to Call Me Catholic. Thank you for joining us on this fine summer day. I am your host, Peggy Normanton, and I have been thoroughly enjoying, loving, as a matter of fact, our conversation with our guest today, Alexis Walkenstein. She's a great voice in the Catholic Church today. Maybe you follow her blog, Lexi Blog, or maybe you have listened to a radio show on Mary's Touch, or have heard her speak on topics of faith and culture, or maybe you have purchased her new book on her media patron, the venerable Fulton Sheen. The book is called Ex Libris, Fulton J. Sheen, so you can't forget that, and it's an excellent compilation of writings categorized into five themes. Alexis, you know, when I was reading this book, and it's very, very easy to read, I thought this would be a fantastic book club read for like a small faith sharing group because it's deep, but it is not difficult.
Right, right.
And there's great opportunities for discussion. In fact, you have in the back some questions.
Right, yeah. And it's really amazing what's happening with this book. People are inviting me to come and give a retreat in the School of Fulton J. Sheen around the country. And what I'm seeing is Fulton Sheen really wants to be a friend to the church now. He wants to bring people who are fractured back to the church. He wants to bring people who need an understanding, who need an impartation of a catechesis that they might not be getting in the church because of the wounds that we see that are manifesting in the church. But heaven doesn't skip a beat, and he's given us a contemporary saint in the making to help us achieve our life of holiness, the universal call of holiness. All of us are called to live a life for Christ and to choose that path where we will glorify God. And Fulton Sheen, a priest, also a matchmaker, someone who believed in love. He wrote Three to Get Married. He also had a reputation for setting up people. He was a matchmaker. Yeah. I didn't know that. These are things I found out as I began my friendship, my spiritual friendship with Fulton Sheen.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, too, because I'd like to know more about what you know about him. You know, he was a very formal man. He loved the habit, and he wore it with great flourish. He also had a great sense of humor. What are some other things that you can tell us about Fulton Sheen, the man?
The man. From his family and friends that knew him, he had a joy that no matter what the suffering was, his joy was through and through. He knew who he was as a son of God, who knew who he was in his apostolic office, but he had this zest for life, and he wanted to free people of their knots so that they could have this, you know, the hallmark phrase, life is worth living, that they could live an abundant life, you know? But he had a wild sense of humor. He loved love. One of my favorite stories and a great grace in my life is to be connected to the Holliger family. Yolanda Holliger was married to Fulton Sheen's cousin, and Fulton Sheen had a particular hand in setting this up. He kind of had his eye on her for his cousin and, invited her to the residence to, you know, she didn't know it was a setup. She thought she was going to teach the organ to a bunch of old people.
Perfect. Well executed.
And he got in the middle and he loved all the elements of it. He, you know, the groom couldn't afford the ring. He bought the diamond ring. He was waiting in the wings when the engagement was happening with a bottle of champagne, and there was going to be a signal so that if it was a yes, he would fly down with the champagne. If it was no, he would stay back. And then, you know, when of course, it was a yes. He flew down there with the champagne, and then he did the betrothment in his private chapel. He was involved in everybody's life. He did not, his oil was spent generously, if that makes sense. He was completely sold out for the church. There was no time that was too busy. I had another story of a woman that met him. She was an older woman now. When she was a little girl, her parents were married, and the father was not Catholic, the mother was, and they watched Fulton Sheen every week. And when she heard that I was going to be giving a talk, she cut out the bulletin and was like anticipating coming to tell me her story, that, you know, her greatest desire was that they would have a complete family of faith, that her father would come to know Jesus Christ. And the father, unbeknownst to the mother and child, was having a conversion while watching Fulton Sheen on the radio, on the television every week. And he went on his own to Lower Manhattan. They lived in Manhattan. He went to the parish in Lower Manhattan, knocked on the door of the rectory, and was getting ready to unburden himself and let the priest know, I want to become a Catholic. I need to learn. I want to be baptized. And the priest said to him, I'm eating dinner. Could you come back another time?
Oh, boy. Love those
and
priests.
The father could have been very dejected by this. And he probably was for a hot minute. But he said, I'm going to reach out to the only priest I know, the only other priest I know. And he wrote a letter to Bishop Sheen. And Bishop Sheen called him and said,
oh, really?
I want you to come to my residence every Sunday, and I myself will teach you the faith.
Wow.
This is who Fulton
fantastic.
Sheen was. Fulton Sheen was not about having a great grand old time and compartmentalizing the mission that he had to bring souls to Christ. He had a great grand time in the middle of bringing every soul that he ever encountered to Christ. And that's what every person that knew him, everyone that was related to him, wanted to tell me, that, you know, he'd be in a hospital doing one thing, and then someone would say, my wife's a nurse, and she's, you know, she's not Catholic yet, and where is she? Where does she take me to her?
That's interesting, because I was going to ask you this question, which I think you're already answering, which is, yes, we know he was a great communicator. Yes, we know he was a very bright man. He had his doctorate in theology. He was very, very, had a lot of charisma, a lot of draw and appeal. But that's not the making of a saint. What qualified him as a candidate for sainthood?
Well, they have to go through the life of holiness. So, of course, all of the intellectual, all of his writings, over 70 published works, they're all examined. But the testimony from people like Joan Sheen Cunningham, his niece, like his other family in Peoria, like the people that knew him, the priests that knew him, people who were around him who could testify to a life of holiness, he made a holy hour every single day. He was so committed, and he was being used at such a high level. He knew that he couldn't do any of what he was called to do without being completely filled and sold out and surrendered, and just to have this face time with God. And that's one of the pieces that I use under the section Knowing Jesus, is the holy hour. I think a lot of us don't understand the graces that are attached to things in the church, the richness of our faith where we can access Christ.
The devotions of our faith.
And he reminds us of where the power source is. So many people are looking for a power these days, and it's a false power in the New Age and the occult. And it can be like kind of off-putting. And yet I don't want to be so negative towards those people, because I think they're looking for power. They're looking for power, but they haven't been told about authentic power. And authentic power is in the sacramental life of the church. And that's what Sheen lived every day of his life. He also had an incredible heart for the poor and the missions. His niece, when I spent a lot of time with her, she talked to me about how he would give his coat off his back almost every time she was with him. There was someone in need, and he would literally take his coat off his back for somebody else.
You know, it was interesting. I came across, in just kind of doing a little backgrounding on Fulton Sheen, I noted that the FBI actually had a file on him.
Yes.
And they kept a record of him. It was the 50s. You know, there was a lot of investigation about, you know, the underground communism. And of course, he was outspokenly against communism, but he was a public figure that was very outspoken. So they kept a record on him. And I was looking at some of the notes they made, and they said he keeps nothing for himself.
Right.
That's what his FBI personality profile says. And it says the bishop has little or no social life.
Right. It was like a revolving door. I mean, I remember his niece talking to me about there's some criticism of him driving a big fancy car. And what they don't know is, like, there was a car dealer that really loved him. And it would be like every month they would give him a new car. But the cars, like, rolled in, rolled out. And it was like God provides. And that's what we need. He kind of teaches us how God's provision, like, you know, like when you're in Christ, God's going to give you those things that you need. And what I found out through Joan, and I had five intentions that day in that crypt, three for others and two for myself, seemingly impossible intentions, some very, very difficult, very sad situations, and others not sad, just like kind of like, Jesus, are you going to come again before they get answered? But, you know, Denise really was ministering to me when I met her, and I came into this tremendous family of Fulton Sheen's posse, as I say, Saint Posse. She was speaking to me without knowing it about the very many things that he did for people in his midst. And a lot of it had to do with corporal provision, finding apartments, finding real estate, finding husbands,
practical
things in life that we can get stuck on if we're feeling like we have lack. You know, God wants to help us in these areas of our life. And he was a mover and a doer, and yet he didn't keep anything for himself. But he knew, you know, the people of God need to live on this earth and glorify God as well. But she was amazing. She would talk to me about the kinds of the way that he was, the way he was with the missions, the way he was with the marginalized, with the poor. There was I think he himself in a DVD set called Family Retreat with Fulton Sheen, he talks about being on an airplane and a woman who was very angry, and he just looked at her, and he had the ability to go into a soul. God gave him the ability to see. And this is what I'm seeing now mystically. There's deliverance happening with Fulton Sheen when you bring him into your life. And he said, why are you so angry? Did you have an abortion?
Oh.
And she did. And
that's a pretty bold question to ask a stranger.
She was the flight attendant. He ministered to her. And he said, and then, you know what? I blessed the next baby and the marriage, and she was in confession, and in that knot was undone. So people do know him as a communicator. I relate to him as a communicator and an evangelist, but Fulton Sheen, let me tell you, is not just for those in the communications business or in that world. Fulton Sheen is for every manner of humanity. He is for the addict. Joan Cunningham told me her uncle never took a drink a day in his life. And wouldn't it be fitting that he would have a grace of intercession for sobriety for people? There is a testimony of a man who read one of Sheen's works called Lift Up Your Heart, which is a very profound work that tackles the ego and the things that attack the ego and where sin can come in. He read the book and he was instantly healed. Mm. He never drank or drugged again. Mm. These are huge realities that we don't even know the kind of interest we have in the spiritual bank account with saints who can help us. And why does God give us these saints? Because he's so generous. He wants us to collaborate.
Absolutely.
For this salvation.
And they like to be addressed.
They do.
And in
they
fact,
do.
I forgot to mention to you that I actually invited a friend of mine to our studio today to join us. It happens to be Fulton Sheen.
It's upside down.
I wanted you to know that we have this in common.
Oh,
this
my
hangs
gosh.
Above my office in
that
my desk in my office.
Is incredible. Who rendered that?
Mariola Paini.
Wow.
She loves to do pencil sketches
of the
different saints. And I love it. So I have kept him above my work too. I definitely have a devotion. You know, I used to watch the shows, those old shows, and let's talk a little bit about that show, because that's how a lot of people know him and remember him.
True.
It was called Life is Worth Living. It debuted in 1951. And the interesting background is that I guess it was Dumont Television.
Yes.
They were looking for a new programming. So they got a rabbi, a Protestant minister, and a Catholic bishop. And they said, let's try to create some programming. And he was the only one that stuck.
Yeah. And it was like a runaway train. You know, my dad at the time, his Jewish family, my dad's a Jewish convert. He was raised Jewish in Revere, Massachusetts. They watched. My mom's Catholic family in the suburbs of Boston and Natick, Massachusetts, they watched. Everybody watched. And, he had the ability. And I think this is what's so compelling about Fulton Sheen, too, is that he didn't live in this Catholic bubble. He had the ability to attract every manner of living. People who wanted to understand the meaning of life. Is God real? Does he exist? Does he care about me? And in some way, that was a little bit of the lens that I wanted to approach this tiny little book, was not just for the formed Catholic faithful in the pew, but for people who might be lost, for people who might be searching. Let Sheen answer those questions about life. Let Sheen answer again those questions. We're struggling in our culture more than ever.
Oh, yeah.
And Sheen was a prophet. He spoke to all the issues and the ills that we are struggling with now to a much greater degree. So I really believe that he is an intercessor, a powerhouse intercessor for our time.
Well, you know, his show ran against the popular Milton Berle show.
Yeah. And he won. He beat him.
He beat him. I remember the line that Milton Berle used when Bishop Sheen won the Emmy over him. He said, well, he's got a better writer.
Right. And when he accepted the Emmy, I have to thank my writers, Matthew Mark, Luke, and John.
Yes, he's
such
writers.
A funny dude.
Yeah. I think that's so funny. Cute. But yet he was very stylized.
Yes.
You know, it reminded
Theatrical.
Me. Recently I saw the Mr. Rogers documentary.
Oh, right. I haven't seen it yet.
And here is a man who seems like not everybody gets it, but he is so authentic. Children get it. And children understand him and are comfortable with him. And I think that was the way it was. They were very different people, but he was authentic. There was nothing put on. It was just the way
he communicated. No bells, no whistles.
No.
He wore his clerical garb. He had a chalkboard and he preached. And I want to say that to the bishops today. You don't need the bells and whistles. You need to get up and you need to preach. You need to preach Jesus Christ. You need to tell people who they are in relation to God and how to get back home to heaven. And that's it.
Why was the show called Life is Worth Living? What was that scene?
You know, I don't know why it was called that, but I think it's so profound because truly, life is worth living. Jesus came that we would have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10. You know, he died on the cross for us. We don't need to duplicate that again. Of course, we have suffering in our life. But what I think Fulton Sheen does for us all the time is he shows us no matter what the suffering is, we are going to have the cross. But this joy that you know with Christ, you know, when you unite your suffering to Jesus, you're going to have a joy like you never knew. And some of the treasures, and I'm just so grateful to God for breaking into my life through Fulton Sheen. I never read any of his works. I'm a TV girl. I watched a lot of the YouTubes. I knew he was on TV.
Oh, but you read him for this book.
Of course. My first introduction was Three to Get Married. And then, of course, I went through this process of, you know, wanting to read everything he wrote. Mm. And then when I was invited to do this book by Pauline Media, The Media Nuns, of course, he loved The Media Nuns. And I didn't know that. I kept saying, Lord, what's the connection with Fulton Sheen and The Media Nuns? And I got my answer. I was on the road in Northern California and I was staying in the convent with the nuns. So cute. And I found out from one of the older sisters who was stationed in Manhattan that Fulton Sheen straddled between two parishes with the Media Nuns bookstore right in the middle. And so he had a key to their adoration chapel and he often made his holy hour with them. And he eventually had his own key. And of course, Fulton Sheen wanted the Media Nuns to have this first in the series of Ex Libris series on him because they're using media so powerfully to communicate.
Gospel. And joyfully.
Yeah.
Fulton Sheen, no, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he said hearing nuns' confessions is like getting pummeled to death with popcorn.
Popcorn, yes. That's one of my favorite quotes. I know. He has some real liners. I mean, and I just love some of his zings, you know, and he just hits you between the eyes with some of his comments.
And he did have a powerful charisma. We have a caller, and somebody's going to have to help me here because my little mouse is not working and I cannot access this caller who's come on the air with us. Hey, Joyce, are you with us?
I guess I am. I was thinking I was going to be trained a little more before I got thrown into this.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, we were having a little technical issue, and I see that you have the notes say that you've had a personal experience with Fulton Sheen. So I really wanted you to share that with Alexis, who also has had a personal experience with Fulton Sheen. So welcome to Call Me Catholic, Joyce.
I had a lifetime experience with Fulton Sheen. I was raised with my parents watching Fulton Sheen. I was born in 1944, so, you know, and my parents. But my mother wasn't Catholic, but she still was in on it, and yes, she did convert. Was baptized before she died, and so I'm going to fast forward because all of my experiences with Fulton Sheen probably has led up to 3 years ago when Rita, I'll call her Rita from Iraq.
Okay.
She's from Nanoa, Karakosh. She escaped in 2014 to Evril, which is on the border of Turkey.
Sure,
but she was luckier. Although large families, she had uncle and aunt, so her parents and every 30 of their members lived in their small apartment. And they sent her to Lebanon because of the safety issues that she had an uncle. And she wanted to be a doctor, felt that it was lost, and was able to come over to do a presentation to raise money for the refugees and ended up in my apartment. I mean, my house, my rental.
Uh-huh.
And was supposed to go back. And it was when Pope Francis was visiting and it just all of these things. And at that point, I was having a lot of experience with Rita of Kassia. Now I know these all just sort of start connecting together. So I had 8 months with Rita. I'm sponsoring her, and I am on my way to Lithuania to connect with her, and hopefully she will be able to be one accepted by the Pope Francis because of where she has and where she's gone. Mm-hmm. That's an amazing story. But in the meantime, I've connected with all of her family, and I joined Catholic Daughters over here, and now maybe you'll know where I'm going. And our Catholic Daughters, and my whole trip to see the Pope in Philadelphia was kind of Rita of Cassia. And then I didn't know her shrine was there. And all of a sudden, I'm realizing that one of the things that happened as I connected with everybody from Iraq and my Rita's aunt is a sister, and I'm not sure which one. But this thing came on with Archbishop Sheen at that point. You know, I always wanted Catholic Daughters to become international. And that's one of the things I wanted to do.
Oh, okay.
That's all I could do in my life. Lots of things have happened in between that.
You're going global.
With her. What?
I said you're going global.
Yeah, I think, what was it, last week, the gospel? Because I try to listen, and it was, I send you out on a mission of love, or yeah. I know that I'm with you, and I'm taking off and leaving right. a lot here. And so I guess if you want to know, I'm off, and I don't know. I'm just saying, okay, I have no idea. Number one, I need to get over there and see. I've got a fund started over here for her.
Okay.
But I want to get a fund for education for persecuted Christians, and I'm feeling like I'm supposed to write the story. So,
well, you just got to get to it, Joyce. And you know what? I think Bishop Sheen did have a great heart for the mission.
He did.
And
he,
so I think
he will
he's
be
a
an
good
intercessor
patron.
For you.
Yeah,
yeah,
I think he will be a good patron.
Take him with you.
So good luck with that. Thank you for sharing that story with us, Joyce. Sorry to throw you under the bus so quickly when we just got you on there, but we had a little technical issue. So thank you.
And that's all right. I've never done anything like this on there, but I listen all the time. But
God bless you. Thank you for sharing that. And and good luck with your mission. I think you're going to have great success in some great intercession from Fulton Sheen.
Okay, thank you.
You know, he was very prophetic in some ways, Fulton Sheen was. One of his quotes was, in journalism, the modern man wants controversy, not truth.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that, how much more relevant could
how
that be than today?
Journalism, what is journalism in 2018?
Yeah. So tell us about how you can, if anybody would want to do a retreat. This is
sure.
so rich for the times.
It's the really, material. The book, I will just say, this is the Lord's doing. The book is completely put together by the Holy Spirit. I never imagined a book. I thought I had promoted him through the diocese and that promotional part on my end, what I promised him in the crypt was full circle. And yet all this time later, I was on my way to Hollywood and I was invited by the Pauline sisters to compile this book on his spirituality. And I'm blown away that that happened. And it was really Fulton Sheen just kind of hinting to me that he was behind all of my movements, that they were divine movements, that I wasn't moving myself to LA.
Mm-hmm.
He was moving me and he was behind all of it. And so, fast forward, you know, it's a full 10 years since that visit in the crypt. The book is here. And what I'm seeing is the way that the book was put together was through prayer. I locked myself down. I became overwhelmed in a way. How much of his content can you pick from over 70 works? Where do I go, Lord?
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Did these five themes just jump out at you?
Well, I was started to mine for content. I had to lock myself down. I was so busy with my day job, the movie 24/7 day job.
Darn.
And I had to make a commitment and say, okay, girl, you gotta surrender and you gotta get into that back house and stay there like a hermit. No matter what anybody's trying to bang your door down, you gotta stay in there until it's done. And the Lord was sending his Holy Spirit, no joke, highlighting, illuminating areas. And then through my beautiful, beautiful editor, Sister Teresa Noble, who many of you might follow on social, she's a beautiful, holy, saintly sister who she helped me really kind of identify these big trains of thought. What we were seeing was God was compiling this under various headings. And the headings are starting with God is fire. God is fire. Human freedom. How many of us struggle with freedom and surrendering our will for his
will. Or misunderstand what human freedom
exactly.
is.
Yeah, exactly. And then divine love, all the areas where we encounter divine love through the sacramental life of the church and marriage, religious life, vocation, the mother of God. Sin, no one wants to talk about sin.
And that is one of my favorite chapters or excerpts is about how he talks about how sin is like a piece of glass that gets into your skin and tries to expel itself.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
beautiful
a profound
imagery.
Section.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final section is knowing Jesus, so where we encounter the Lord. So what's been happening through the book, people are having these profound experiences. And of course, the nuns are, you know, really instrumental because they're so ministry. Their ministry is just to bring Jesus. So they invited me to do a retreat in Culver City in L.A. in the school of Fulton J. Sheen. And it was very, very profound. And so this retreat's being replicated
around
the country.
So now it's on the road.
It's on the road. I'm being invited to come all over the United States. So if you want me to come.
And how can they reach you, Alexis?
Wachenstina at gmail.com. You can find me on my blog, lexicaliblog.com.
You're big on, you got a Facebook.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook, on Instagram. Follow me.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we're taking the retreat on the road and people are becoming, having a deepening of their relationship with Jesus through Fulton Sheen. They're having a greater understanding of the call on their life to embrace their vocational life. And there's deliverance happening. God is about setting people free, free to be who they're called to be in Christ for a life worth living.
Well, and I hope he's interceding on the part of getting more vocations and building the priesthood into that authentic representation.
He's about the priesthood, marriage. He's doing it all.
Yeah,
he
all
really
the vocations.
Is.
Well, so check it out. It's definitely a book worth reading. And you know, one place where you can get a lot of Fulton Sheen material is at the EWTN RC catalog. So it's you go to EWTNRC.com. Lots of his tapes, lots of his books. Is there a good definitive biography on Fulton Sheen?
Treasure and Clay is really
Treasure
the
and Clay,
best.
Right. Okay.
If you want to know about the man through his boyhood.
And then you'll just be dying to read all of his stuff. But mostly you want to pick up Ex Libris, Fulton J. Sheen by Alexis Wachenstein, some of his really salient writing. Mostly, too, we want you to check back with us again next week, same day, same time, for more good news from our good faith. Until then, I want to thank Alexis and tell you that I'm Peggy Normandin, but you can call me Catholic.
You've been listening to Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin, live from the Christ Cathedral campus in Garden Grove, California. Call Me Catholic is a co-production of EWTN Radio and Orange County Catholic Radio. Heard weekly on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.